Then if anyone say to you, behold, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. In the name of the Father, and of His Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious, dear parishioners, on this last Sunday of the church year, we very fittingly have the gospel of the end of the world. And among the great tribulations and signs and events that will happen, our Lord tells us that there will be great dangers to the faith. They'll be told, there is the Christ, or there is the Christ. And our Lord says, don't go. So what our Lord is saying, in other words, is to hold fast to the Catholic faith. And this is all the more difficult in a time where I believe we have seen the great falling away that St. Paul talked about in 2 Thessalonians, and about the man of sin, or the Antichrist, being revealed. This will all have to happen before the end of the world, before our Lord comes to judge the living and the dead, to have the resurrection of the body will take place, the general judgment. We refer to this daily in the Creed. I believe in the resurrection of the body. So it's hard to say that we're not living in the latter times, because again, that great falling away has happened. And how do we know that? Well, because most people, as we look at the numbers, they do not adhere to the traditional Catholic faith. There are, of course, many who call themselves Catholic, but they don't believe as Catholics. They don't believe what Catholics should believe. So this is our way to persevere, to hang on to what the Church has taught us. And remember, the Church has been divinely commissioned to infallibly tell us what Christ taught. And this is what we have to do to save our souls. So what does it, again, mean to be a Catholic? Just call yourself a Catholic? Well, not you, I'm just speaking generally. Is that enough for somebody to just say, I'm a Catholic? It's not enough. You can call yourself anything, but you have to actually be that person. And to be a Catholic means to hold to the faith. There is no such thing as cafeteria Catholicism, where one picks and chooses what he or she would like to have. Again, called cafeteria Catholicism, like going to a cafeteria. I'll have a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I won't take that, and I won't take that. It was one of the popes in the last 100 years or so who, in his one of his encyclicals, said the nature of the Catholic faith is such that it does not admit of degrees. You can't be 50% Catholic. You can't be 75% Catholic or 5% Catholic. You can only be 100% Catholic, or you're not a Catholic. And it only makes sense. I mean, how can we tell our blessed Lord, Jesus, I believe in some of your teachings, but I don't believe all of them? The very motive why we believe in some of those teachings is the very same motive why we have to accept all of them. They come from Christ. They're guaranteed as such by the Catholic Church, or just faithfully transmitted the teachings of our Lord. And at least before Vatican II, we see this beautiful continuity of truth throughout the 20 centuries. The unbroken, consistent truth taught. And that's what we say, to what we say daily, I believe. We have those beautiful words from the Act of Faith. I believe all that thou hast revealed through the Catholic Church, for thou canst neither deceive nor be deceived. Now, some of the teachings of our Lord as given to us by the Church may be more difficult to accept, but that doesn't mean we don't hold to them. It is the truth. It is what the Son of God taught us. And this is what we must believe. If we do not adhere to that, then we'll be led astray by false Christs and false prophets. Our Lord warns us exactly of that. So hold to the faith. Study the Catholic faith. Study the good old books, the Baltimore Catechism, the approved books that explain faith, morals, especially the teachings of the popes and of the councils of the church, those solemn events in the history of the church in which the church dealt with great challenges, great heresies arose, but we see the truth, the unvarnished, well-explained, powerful truths right there. Of course, Vatican II marks the departure from that, and that's why we shouldn't be studying that. We'll see contradiction. So keep the faith and be faithful in the little things. You know, how will we be able to be faithful in greater challenges and difficulties? There's only one way, and that's by being faithful in the little things in our daily lives, the daily spiritual obligations. Be faithful in the little things, you'll be faithful then in the greater things. It's a simple truth and yet a very powerful truth that works in every aspect of our life, really, if you think about it. We are in the season of Thanksgiving. Again, it's not a prescribed liturgical observance, but every day is a good day to have Thanksgiving. I really appreciate that thought of G.K. Chesterton, where he says that gratitude is the highest form of thought. And just think about it. The more grateful a person is, doesn't that motivate them more and more? Gratitude leads to so much other good in one's daily life. So it's something in which to grow. It produces many good works because, again, of that sense of gratitude. I'm grateful for what I have. And I was thinking of the story of the mother of the Vaughan children, and this family was from Wales. And when she converted to the Catholic faith, she was so grateful for her Catholic faith that it led her to make a daily holy hour of prayer. And apparently she did it in her private chapel. They were a well-to-do family, and the bishop of the diocese gave permission to have a private oratory on their grounds. So it led to that daily holy hour. And the fruits of that were just absolutely striking because six of her sons became priests, A couple of them were bishops, one was a cardinal. I think three of her daughters became religious sisters, and there were only two or three children left to be married, and they entered into good Catholic marriages. So again, the good that came from a spirit of gratitude. So let us often give thanks. That's a way to practice that. Practice that gratitude. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. So let our thoughts be on thanksgiving, and thanksgiving to the grace of God, that powerful thing that, as St. Paul says, by the grace of God, or I am what I am by the grace of God. St. Paul was filled with gratitude for God's grace. Let us also be like that. Let's be like all the saints, filled with gratitude for the power of God's grace, which enables so many things to happen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.